God of the breakthrough when I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do. I come to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through, strongholds break when I pray through, and I'm gonna praise you.
Thank you.
You turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus, for what You've done in my life before. Help me to remember it for the times that come, God, and the times I'm in. Lord, You are so good. I declare it, God. You are so good. You are so amazing. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. I lived in California for a while, a short time, and it was beautiful, amazing. Everything they say it was or is. And everybody out there, I had a good friend, his name was Zenith, and he said, why would you live in Wisconsin now that you've seen California? He's like, what do you have out there that we don't have here? And I said, well, we have four seasons. You don't have four seasons. You have one. And he said, but the seasons are horrible. I said, no, they're not. I like them. I like the variety. And as my wife and I, who've been married, we've been married over 11 years now, we've come to realize that there's times in our life when we go through different seasons. For those of you that are my age or older, you know what I'm talking about, maybe even younger. There's youth. You're going to start experiencing this if you haven't already. Your seasons. This is a season in your life. And so as we've announced before and we've let everybody know that James and Rachel are moving on. They were our previous youth pastors. They're moving on to another season of their life, which is super exciting. This isn't they're gone, goodbye, horrible. This is cool. There's a new season that God is having them experience. And Kyle and Alicia are coming into another season of their own as well, which is exciting. But I was given a prayer request this morning that I just feel led that we, as a church, I wanted to make this just a special request. Because as James and Rachel are coming into their new season, seasons aren't always easy. They're not always simple. And last night, Rachel was admitted to the hospital. And as of right now, she's fine. I'm going to leave out all the medical jargon. But what it really boils down to is her blood pressure was very high. And they needed it to come down. And they're managing it now in the hospital. James, last I heard, was at home with their newborn baby, little girl. And the family's been helping. But can we pray for this family during this season? We're a family, right, in church? And this is our brother and our sister. And we just sang about, like, we could speak to a mountain. So if we can speak to a mountain, because it's not me, it's not you speaking to a mountain, it's God that does the work, then God can do the work to a blood pressure. Do you agree with that? Can we all agree that God can change a blood pressure this morning? Then let's just pray. Let's speak to the blood pressure. Let's say, blood pressure, you have to come down, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for our family members, James and Rachel, that are in this church, God, and their newborn baby girl, God. God, whatever season they're in, whatever they're going through, God, we pray to this blood pressure. We speak to it and say, you have to come down in Jesus' name. God, we know that we don't do this. These words don't mean anything. It's you that has the power to do action, to do great things in people's life, God. And we ask for a miracle, God. We ask for a healing, God, that you would touch Rachel and you would touch whatever's going on inside of her body. We're not medical experts, but we pray that you would touch it, God. And we pray that you'd give them strength as a couple as they start this new season with a new baby and a new member of their family. And it starts off with some difficulties. God, give them hope. Give them encouragement. Give them strength, God. God, help us as a family, Lord, to support them in whatever ways we can. God, we know you can do this. You can move mountains. You can move a blood pressure. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kyle and Alicia, could you come up here? Stand right up here. Come on. So here's another season. This couple just got married like a year. What's the date, Kyle? August 30th. Oh, look at that. It's just over a year. See, that's how I do it. You got to make sure the guy knows. May 30th, just so we're clear. They just got married, and they've been involved with the youth. And when James and Rachel were starting to talk to Pastor Roy and I and saying, hey, we're going to go to our next season, and we feel God's calling us to this next season, Pastor Roy was like, Kyle and Alicia, we got to ask. They're so awesome. We love them. The youth loves them. And you guys are just doing a great job, taking one step at a time, being humble, asking the right questions. Just keep doing that, and God will use you. So let's give them a hand as they come and minister to us with the word.
Praise the Lord. Just broke my mask. We are so thankful to be here, so grateful to be up here today. I'm thankful for all your words, Brother Sandin. You guys can be seated. I'm just going to ramble for a couple minutes. I do appreciate your kind words just as we transition in. I'm so excited. Kyle and I are going to talk a little bit about this, but we just feel like even before, you know, we were engaged, we felt like this is where God was leading us. And he's just opened all the doors, and it's crazy to us that we're here. It's humbling to be youth leaders, but we're really excited. And I just want to start by saying thank you to so many people. I'm going to miss somebody, I know. But first, just to Pastor Roy, the pastoral staff here, we really appreciate you guys just trusting us with this, trusting us to speak today. Thank you to Brother Sandin for putting up with my, I sent him like a text message that was an entire book last week. It was very long. And I just appreciate his patience, his wisdom. I already said thank you to James and Rachel, but I want to say it again. We've served under them for like about a year, just learned so much from them. And we're so thankful for them, all that they've taught us, all the work that they've done with the youth for forever, for years. I think it was like 7 years. I could be totally wrong. Something like that. I also just want to say thank you to all my youth leaders, brother and sister, Phil and Fiona, Carl and Sass, for my youth leaders for a year. I appreciate them. I appreciate what they did for me. Everything that, you know, they changed my life. They spoke into my life and had a huge impact on me. And I hope I can have like just a speck of that impact in your guys' life. We're gonna do our best. Also to my parents, they weren't my youth leaders, but they were youth leaders. And I've already bugged them for for some of their wisdom. They let us crash their house for a socially distanced bonfire yesterday. Yeah, we probably destroyed all their flowers, like after the flake. But but anyways, I appreciate them. I appreciate all the parents of all the youth putting up with, okay, literally my first email. Like, we became youth leaders. I sent an email out and messed up my own phone number in the very first email. So I appreciate all your guys' patience with me just as we take over. I feel like I'm organized, and then every time I feel like something's organized, I'm like, I forgot, like, 15 things, and I feel like it's been 2 weeks, and we've already learned so much. So I just want to say thank you for you guys, all you guys do as parents, your patience with us. To our young people, I'm so proud of you. So proud as I look at all of you, and this is random, but I meant to say this when I first came up. We have the first 3 rows reserved, so if you're going into 7th grade through going into 12th grade, you can join us trying to spread out in the first couple rows here. The service really is, it's for everyone, but it's focused for you guys, for the young people. But I just want to say I'm so proud of you guys. Last night, like I said, we had our fire. We had an awesome Bible study from Clayton and Ryan. They spoke about faith and unity, and I was blown away just at their wisdom and the discussion that followed. Like, we have incredible young people. And then today, I came into music, like, a little worried. Like, I don't know music very well, and you guys just took over. Aka Girls, I'm so proud of you. You just practice. Music is your life, and I'm so proud of you guys. Olivia played guitar. She taught herself to play guitar. Like, these girls are amazing. All you singers, Kate, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you guys so much. So proud of all of you. I could ramble about all of you, but we should probably probably get started. But I want you guys to know that those just aren't empty words. I truly am proud of you. I truly believe God has a plan for each of you. I told you guys this last night, but if you weren't there, Kyle and I are here. We want to see you guys grow. We want to help you guys grow, do everything we can just to play a role in your life. So please don't hesitate to come talk to us. If you have any questions, if you have any event ideas, any concerns, please feel free to come talk to us. Yeah, we love you guys. But we're just going to talk from our hearts for a couple minutes today. We kind of wrote one thing and then completely changed it yesterday. So this might be a little, not disorganized, but, you know, it might be like 10 minutes long. But we just really feel led to talk about our lives, our ministry, just where God's brought us from. We've lived very different lives up until now. And just want to share our testimony, a little bit about us, help you guys maybe get to know us, and just kind of maybe our advice for the young people of today, advice that we're still living out today. So I'll start out in prayer. You guys don't have to stand. He's just going to start with his story. But God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you that we get to gather together. Yes, it's been different, Jesus. This youth week has looked a little different, but I'm so thankful for the family of God. I'm so thankful for these young people. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to stand up here, God. We don't take this situation lightly, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you would just move in this service, God. You are welcome here. And I pray that you would speak through me and Kyle, Lord Jesus, that you would just move in this place, that these would be your words and not our words, Lord Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you, God. You are incredible and you are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Kyle's going to talk for a couple minutes.
All right, so.
Do you want to use my mic?
Sure. Hello, hello. Anyway, hello? We're married, it's fine, right? Okay, so as most of you know, I didn't grow up in this church. I recently came about 3 years ago now then. And this scripture lately has been really on my heart, just thinking back from where I've came through, what I've gone through. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. King James Version says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." When we originally started writing this sermon, we wanted to talk about advice we have for the youth. And that got me thinking about when I was youth group aged. I had a great GPA. I was a state athlete. I didn't get in trouble that much. Went to church sometimes. I didn't drink much. I lived what I considered to be a good, a moral life. I did the best that I could to do what I thought was right, what I knew was right. To my knowledge, I thought I was doing great. I thought I had life figured out. I thought I was ahead of the game. I thought I knew who I was and where I was going. Partway through high school, my mom passed away unexpectedly. It was ruled a suicide, but there was no note. No one really knows for sure. And right in the midst of me thinking I have everything figured out, thinking I was, you know, knew what I was doing, my world was completely shook. It was devastating. Nothing really made sense. I kept living on, kept doing what I thought was best, what I considered to be the right thing to do. I never truly dealt with that pain and that depression. There were times when I'd break down, but never really recognizing and never really dealt with that pain that I carried. And then I went to college, and in an effort to have friends and to fit in, I got involved in a fraternity. And in that loneliness and depression, I got involved with a group of guys who were also, you know, had depression and had issues. And we became friends, and as I became friends with them, I learned how they kind of coped with it. Not that we called it that, but basically I started, turned to smoking pot or marijuana. Smoking a little bit turned into smoking a lot. Smoking a lot turned into not enough. And I reached a point where I couldn't even sleep without drugs. I didn't want to admit I had a problem. I just told myself this is what everyone does. And this is how everyone lives. Everyone around me at that time, that's what they were doing. So I didn't think anything of it. Over time, I realized I had a problem and that I was destroying my life. I didn't know how to change. Every time I tried to stop, that pain and depression would come back in. I'd end up going right back to it. I started working dead-end jobs, getting paid just to feed that addiction, just to buy more drugs. And I tried everything from to cope with that pain, moved around. I tried different relationships, drugs, obviously alcohol. After a little over 3 years ago, I moved back to the Wisconsin area. I knew I had an issue, and a family member reached out trying to bring me home. I went to college in Minnesota, so I didn't really have much family around for that time. I recognized that I needed help, but even once I got home, I fell right back into that same cycle. At times, you know, I think I was living a good life. I was doing what everyone does that, I don't know, a lot of social media today promotes that kind of partying lifestyle. But really on the inside, I hated my life. And then I found a home and a family in this church. And I'm so thankful that Brother Glenn took the time to teach me a Bible study, to explain to me that God was alive and that he loves me. I'm so grateful that all these amazing people here took me in and took the time to get to know me and to show me they loved me and show me the love of God. There had been times in my life where I thought maybe I felt God. There were times when I did experience God, but when I came here, life changed for me. I felt God for real, felt his presence unmistakably. Receiving the Holy Ghost and getting baptized and allowing God to move in my life healed that pain that I tried to cover up for years. The verse I read at the beginning of this was one of my favorites. It reminds me that when we just humble ourselves, when we pray, God does forgive us, and he meets us where we are, and he heals us. The surface relationship that I had was not enough. God knew what I needed, what needed to happen for me to truly reach a point where I realized my humanity, realized how much I needed God. He met me exactly where I was at and began the process of changing my life. My life is so much different now. God took that shame, that addiction, that hopelessness, and he replaced it with joy and hope and peace. Thank you, Jesus. I don't lie in bed at night thinking about all the ways I went wrong. I'm filled with pure joy over where I am today. I have a great career. I have an amazing wife. I have a great, genuine friends and family, a great place to live, a great future dog, or three. one day, a few children for our parents to babysit. It's not enough to just know who God is. Don't have a passive relationship with God. I'm a living testimony that when you give your life to God and truly seek Him, He touches your life in a way that can't be explained. I struggled for... I struggled with years fighting that addiction and tried so many times to get out of it, and I couldn't. And I couldn't even sleep without it. And then literally the day I gave myself to God, the day I was baptized and received the Holy Ghost, I never had an issue. I sleep like a baby now, and every night I lay my head down to go to sleep is a reminder of what God can do.
About the kid thing, whoa, I'm real loud. My dad keeps teasing us, and I was like, we just got 40 kids. Like, that's not going to happen for a couple of years. These are all our children for the next couple of years. You guys aren't children, but you know what I mean. But anyway, so Kyle and I, we've lived very different lives. Most of you know I've grown up in this church. I've pretty much always been here. I feel like I was just raised to know who Jesus was. But ever since I was a kid, like, I've always known that God had a plan for my life. Like, I've always just had that feeling God has something for me. But I feel like I always struggled with knowing what that was. Like, what is my specific calling? And I was always so, like, stuck up on, you know, like, am I going to be a missionary? Am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a Sunday school teacher? Like, what is my specific calling? It was like I wanted God to just, like, put it in a flashing light. You're going to be a missionary. And then, you know, one day that'll happen. I struggled so much with, like, insecurity, just feeling like I didn't fit in when I was younger. Just struggled with that, trying to figure out where I belonged in life. And I was talking to Kyle about this a couple nights ago, and actually, Brother Peter, what you said about seasons and just taking that next step is, it's literally fits exactly with what we're talking about today. He was talking about how life is like a puzzle. And I was like, yeah, that's true. And then I started thinking about it. We used to do puzzles together, and Kyle's really good at puzzles. I am not. Like, I get frustrated. I want to give up. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, that's what life is like. It's like putting together a puzzle, but you know how when you put it together, he says I cheat. I, like, use the box so I have the big picture, and then you take the little pieces. It's cheating. You take the little pieces, and you match them up. He tells me that's cheating, and I use the box, and somehow he still puts, like, 50 pieces together, and I match two. But anyway, I was like, that's what life is like. You know, you just, like, get little pieces of your life. You slowly put them together. And over the last years, God has shown me, like, all throughout my life, when I'm, like, wondering and feeling insecure, like, what's my calling? Who am I supposed to be? I look back now, and it's like I'm 26 now, and I'm like, whoa, God knew what he was doing all along. Like, all these little bits and pieces of my life, they just fit together. It's like they're coming together to make a picture. You know, in high school, I wanted to go to Bible school. I think that was all just my, I don't mean this against Bible school at all. It's great. But I felt like for me, it was just like, I was like fabricating that for myself. God, I want God to do something with me. So I'm going to go to Bible school. I felt like he was tugging at my heart to study Spanish. So I went that route, kind of just feeling like, all right, I'll study Spanish. That led me to spend a couple weeks studying in Costa Rica. Then I, you know, finished college, graduated. Just so happened that the year I graduated, the next steps trip was back in Costa Rica, and ended up spending a year there. I did quite a few different things while I was there, but my favorite piece about being there was just working with a local youth group, going to youth events. That was my favorite part. That wasn't really, like, part of what I was supposed to do, but it ended up being my favorite part of it. And it's like, I look back now, I could go on and on, but so many of these, like, little things where I was kind of like, I feel like I'm just, like, wandering through life, and I want to, like, do something specific. But I look back now, and I'm like, it was one little piece of a puzzle, and God just kept putting them together, and it's creating a picture. And I know Peter talked about seasons, and I know we're just stepping into this season as youth leader, and we plan to be here for years. But it's like, I'm already excited. I used to dread getting older. Like, what if I missed God's call in my life? And now I look back and I'm like, I'm excited. Like, God's brought me this far. He's taken every little detail in my life and, you know, it all just kind of came together. And I'm excited to see what the next season is. Excited for this season. But just looking forward in my life, it's like, God, he has a plan. You might not see it. You might feel like this puzzle is really frustrating and I'm confused and I just want to give up. But God has a plan. His ways are higher than yours. His thoughts are higher than yours. He works all things together for those that are called according to his purpose. He does have a plan for your life, even when it doesn't feel like it, when you feel like you don't know what's going on. There's ups and there's downs. There's good times and bad times. I've made a few stupid mistakes, but I look back now, and it's so clear that everything fits together, that God took the most shy and socially awkward girl in the youth group and somehow has made something out of me, like made me a youth leader. I don't say that out of pride, but to me, it's just a testimony. Like, I was so shy and quiet when I was your guys' age. And I'm just so thankful that God used me. He did something with me, and he can do that for you too. This is such a like random little detail, but Kyle actually said our anniversary actually is today. Today is our first year anniversary. So when Peter Sandin called us and he talked to us about preaching, I was like, oh, can maybe make that work. And then he told us the date, and my initial reaction was like, no, that's our 1 year anniversary. And then I started thinking about it, and I remember so specifically this one time being a young girl in the youth group, sitting on one of the front pews. I feel like it was youth week, but I honestly don't remember. And there was a couple that came through, and they spoke together, and I remember telling God, I want to do that one day. Like, I want to do ministry with my husband. I want, you know, to work alongside together and do ministry, not just me watching him or him watching me. Like, I want to do this together. And when Brother Peter talked to us about speaking today, it was like, we hung up the phone, and I was like, how like God is that? That he like answered that prayer, but also the tiny little detail, it just happens to be on our first year anniversary. To me, it's just a reminder, like, he's paying attention to the details. He knows our prayers. He puts all the pieces together, even when it feels like it's mass chaos today. So I just want to say, you know, living for God, it's not a destination. It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. You're not going to see the full picture of your life, your ministry, your calling until the end of your life. And that's exciting. You know, living for God has so little to do with, like, one day I'm going to be a pastor, one day I'm going to be a youth leader, one day I'm going to be this, and just everything to do with waking up every day, like, God, what are you calling me to do today? What's the next thing that I can do, you know, to reach my calling? What's the next step that I can take? So I'm just excited to see where God takes all of you. With that, I think I'm passing it back to you.
So about 2 years ago, when Alicia and I were, both felt the nudge of God to work with young people, I looked back and how I wished I could have had somebody when I was that age to help nudge me in the right direction as well. I'm grateful for the foundation I did have, but I can't help appreciate how having a church family like this and just seeing the support group that everyone has and just the love. I told Alicia this, and she shared that she felt God tugging at her heart to pray with some of the young girls. We decided to pray about it, about being involved with youth. And literally, the next service, somebody came up to us and asked if we could chaperone a youth event. And we felt like that was a little bit of a confirmation that we were heading in the right direction, getting involved with youth. It's been one step at a time. We never imagined that two years later, we'd be youth leaders. It's incredible what happens when we decide to open ourselves up and allow God to work in our lives. We can plan to lay out our lives ourselves, and we may have success to a certain point, but God's plans are so much bigger and so much better. And when we surrender it to his will, he can do so much more in us.
So years ago when I was on a Next Steps trip, Brother Poitier said these words, and they completely like changed my outlook on living for God. I kind of talked about this a little bit already, but he just said, living for God is as simple as taking the next right step. It's that simple. Like, it's not always easy, but it is that simple. Just take the next right step. It's difficult at times. I talked about how I've had ups and downs. There's been good times. There's been bad times. But when it comes down to it, living for God is as simple as just saying, God, what are you calling me to do next? Like, here I am. What's the next step in my journey? What's the next, like, tangible thing that I need to do to keep growing? I was thinking about Joseph in the Bible and how God gave him a dream, you know, that he was going to be in a position of power. God gave him this dream. And, like, the next thing that happens, you know, his brothers sell him as a slave. You know, he ends up in a pit. He is a slave. You know, life starts to look better. He has a run-in with Potiphar's wife. He ends up in prison. You know, all throughout his life, like, God gave him a dream, but he didn't just, like, wake up the next day and live that. Like, he had ups and he had downs. He had trials. He had tribulations. But he just chose the high road. He just made the next right decision. He just had good character. He rolled with the punches. And, like, eventually, like, years later, God fulfilled his promise. You know, and I feel like if I was Joseph, I would have eventually given up. Like, maybe that dream wasn't really from God. Maybe, as my dad would say, I just ate too much pizza the night before. Like, maybe that wasn't really God speaking to me. I feel like I would have just given up. You know, does God really know what he's doing? But Joseph persevered. He lived for God. And eventually he found himself in a position of power. He found himself living the life that God had promised him. So living for God, it's not always easy. I talked to one of you this weekend, and one of you was telling me, you know, people at school make fun of you for the way you dress or the way you look. And I know some of you have gone through, like, some really crazy things. And I wish I could, like, take that pain. You guys are young, and there's some really hard things that you're dealing with. Broken families. I could go on and on. lost loved ones. So many difficult situations. But I just want to encourage you that if you just persevere through it, God can use that story. He can do something with that. I know even Kyle, he talked about a little bit his testimony and what God's brought him out of and how it doesn't hold him back. Like, I feel like so many of us, we're like, well, all this stuff has happened in my life. Can God really use me? Yes, he can. And Kyle feels like that's one of the biggest reasons, you know, he wants to be youth pastor. You guys are facing so many of the things that we went through. And if we can do anything to try to show you, we've lived through that. Like, this is the best way to live life. So anyways, life, it's tough. It's simple to live for God, but it's tough. But if we always do the right thing, he can, or not always, sometimes we make mistakes, but if we get up, we pick ourselves up when we fall and keep moving forward, he can do something in us. And I'm a living testament to the fact that God can use your mistakes. He can use the small decisions that seem so insignificant in your life, and he can make something out of it.
And like she said, living for God isn't always easy, but it is simple. I told you guys my testimony. I tried everything this world had to offer. I can stand here and confidently say there is nothing in this world that compares to relationship with Jesus. It may provide a temporary pleasure, but it doesn't last. I look over this youth group of all these young people. There are so many talented and smart and incredible young people. Clayton and Ryan, we talked about your Bible study, and those of you who sang did such an amazing job. And I believe with all my heart that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. And we're here to help in any way we can to help that along.
I just thought of one. Like, I could tell a story about each and every one of you guys and how proud I am of you. But I was also thinking about Wednesday night, Seth. You just came up to me and you were like, can I usher? What can I do on Sunday? And I was like, I'm so proud of him. Like, he just took the initiative to say, what can I do? It's youth week. I want to be involved. And I know a lot of you did that. But Seth, I just saw you. You came to mind. I'm so proud of you guys. I could go through every single one of you. You're amazing. You have talents. You're incredible. God can do something through you. But I know this isn't really like a conventional youth week sermon. A little different. It's pretty laid back, but it's been a crazy year. School looks different this year. Youth week looks different. Church looks different. Like, life just looks different. It's been a year. But Brother Enzi said, and we watched the She's for Christ rally on Friday, and he said, the current circumstance is not an excuse for inaction. The current circumstance is not an excuse for inaction. To me, like, yes, life looks different, but it's a chance to get creative. It's a chance for God to use something in you, to do something that you couldn't have imagined. It's not an excuse for inaction. It's a chance to maybe use that talent, do something that you've always dreamed of doing, step out, get creative. He also said, stop making excuses and start making decisions. This is the circumstance. Yes, it's different. Yes, it may look different, but it's not an excuse for inaction. We need to start making decisions. And so my question to you is just really simple. Just what's the next right step for your life? What's the next thing you feel like God's calling you to do? You know, if you're anything like me, you're focused on one day. One day, God's going to do this in my life. One day. No, today. God wants to do something in you today. And I look at, like, the young people I grew up with, and, like, some of them are here, some of them aren't. And I think so often we get complacent, you know. We come to church every Sunday, you know, we live for God. We just kind of go about life, and we get complacent in it. But I think the key to living for God is just waking up every day. What are you asking me to do today, God? Like, I'm not going to worry about the mistakes I made yesterday. I'm not going to worry about 10 years from now. I'm going to prepare myself for 10 years from now, but I'm just going to focus on today. God, what are you asking me to do today? What's the next small step? You know, I'm proud of you. Ryan raised a lot of money for Shoes for Christ this year. That's incredible. You know, who's going to do that next year? Who's going to start saving now, raise money for Shoes for Christ? You know, maybe God's calling you to go on an AYC trip. Maybe, you know, for me, it's as simple as Kyle leaves for work early in the morning, and I used to stay up until I had to work. And lately, I'm just lazy. Like, I go back to bed sometimes, and lately that's just been on my heart. I should stay up. I should, you know, pray a little more. I should read my Bible. I should, like, it's been on my heart to use that specific time to just pray. And I feel like that's my next step, to just strengthen my prayer life and use that time in the morning. First thing when I wake up after Kyle leaves, all right, I'm going to spend some time praying. I'm going to spend some time reading my Bible. So that next step may seem really small. Like, it might seem like insignificant. But like I said, when I look back at my life, some of those really small decisions that just didn't really make sense in the moment, now I'm like, wait, like, God actually used that. Like, that was a part of my big picture. That was such a big part of my life. But in the moment, I couldn't see it. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His thoughts, he can see the big picture. Even we can't. So I implore you, you know, if you're feeling a tug on your heart and the timing's right, your motive, your intentions are right, then I just implore you to step into that. Like, stop saying, one day I'll do this. What can you do today that will draw you closer to God? And to me, this isn't just like a sermon for today. We were preparing and I just felt so like, that was just on my heart. What's your next step? Not as a youth group as a whole, but for you individually, what is God calling you to do? And that's a question that I plan on being like a theme for this whole year. What are you doing? What's a step that you can take? It may be small. It may be something you do today. It might be something you start prepping for next year. It might be God's calling you to go to Bible college and you start looking up which ones are going to work for you. Maybe it's, you know, like I said, saving for an AYC trip. I was planning this and Kyle said I should say maybe your next right step is buying him a puppy. I don't think that really fits, but I'm sure if that was on your heart, he would take that. But what's the next step God is calling you to do? It can be small. Maybe it's teach a virtual P7 club this year, or teach a Bible study to your friends. For some of us, it might be like a very first step, just, God, I don't know you as well as I should. And I want to get the Holy Ghost. I want to get baptized today. I want to seek your face. I just want to take that next small step. And I'll worry about the small step that comes after that. That'll come later. But for today, what do I need to do today to live for God? What's that next thing I can do? And I brought puzzle pieces here. Can you help me? I'm sorry. One second. I brought some puzzle pieces today. I know, like, cheesy, cliche, illustration, but I just brought puzzle pieces, thinking about the puzzle of our life, and I'm going to spread these up on the floor up here. I was trying to think of a way, like, we could all write on the back of them, but we got to social distance here and be careful. So I have some puzzle pieces, and youth especially, I want you to come up and get one of these. And if you guys could stand with me today, I know this is short, but if you guys could stand, I just want us to take a couple minutes and think really specifically, what is God calling me to do today? What's my step? And I've heard some of you talk about, you know, raising money, being a real McCoy next year. For those of you don't know, that means raising a lot of money for She's for Christ. you know, maybe it is, like I said, teaching a P7 club. What is that tangible step? Just take a few minutes and really ask God. And like, I don't care if this altar call today is like just grabbing your puzzle piece. What I want is you guys to take this home, and I want you to put it on your dresser somewhere that you can see it. And I want you to wake up tomorrow and ask yourself, you know, what's this step? What did I decide yesterday that I was going to do? What did I decide that God's going to call me to do? What's this tangible step that I'm going to take today, this week, this month, this school year that I'm going to do? So I can ask you guys, I know we have to be careful, follow social distancing, do what you're comfortable with. You can stay in your pew. You can try to find a place in the front to pray. But I really just want us to take a couple minutes. Like I said, that's my promise. And if you're a young person, we're going to talk about this more. If you feel comfortable sharing, you know, this is what God's called me to do, and I want you to hold me accountable. I'll hear, you can text to me later, you can email me later, you can come talk to me right now. But I want you to share that. I want you to hold yourselves accountable. I want us to do something today, this week. I want us to do something that changes the course of our life. To take that next right step and just take that next puzzle piece. Like I said, you can tell what this kind of is, but it doesn't really give you a full picture. And that's okay, because one day God will take your whole life and it will make sense. But right now, what's your next puzzle piece? What's that next thing you can add to your life? So you guys are welcome to come forward. Welcome to take a few minutes and let's just seek God's face. Ask him, what's that next step I can take? What's that next thing that maybe you know? Like some of you, it's probably been in your heart for months and you've just been like, one day I'll get there. No, today's the day. Some of us might need to think for a little bit. God, what are you calling me to do? What's this next step in my life? It can be small. It can be big. It might take a little faith. It might take a lot of faith. It doesn't matter. Just keep moving. We also talked about living for God. It's like a mountain. And if you're not making an active step to climb up the mountain, you're going to slowly slide backwards. So what is your small step, that action that you can take today to live for God? Praise the Lord.
There's no mountain too tall. There's not a problem too small that Jesus can resolve. In time, he'll get involved. Our God, he cares about us. So when he'll renew your strength. turn back now. I'm gonna wait.